Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you are watching this episode of the Mike Goolsbee Show, whether it's live with us, watching back, or listening to the podcast. Hope everyone is doing well today. Mike Singer, Mike Goolsbee here, talking about Notre Dame's 45-7 victory over Wake Forest. Of course, folks, hit that thumbs up if you haven't done so yet. Subscribe to the channel. Go to blueandgold.com for more coverage. Less than 50 seconds on the intro, Singer. Good job. Goolsbee, 45-7 again. We'll just go to your initial thoughts on the game. What do you think, man? Beating up a bad Wake Forest.
Initial thoughts. It was one of those. This is, I think, how a senior game is supposed to go, dude. It's kind of the homecoming game, as it were, back in high school when we played. You kind of play a cupcake. I don't know how much I personally learned from this game. It was just, it's like, you know, I don't have anything to really complain about per se either, dude. It's just like, it's Notre Dame playing well at home against a clearly inferior opponent.
Yeah.
You know, another kind of slow start, but then you kind of get rolling. Another game where you saw some in-game coaching stuff that just kind of made you don't have a dog, Singer. You got cats, but sometimes your dogs look at you like, you know, like the ending series, the lead up to that kickoff or the field goal going into halftime. That was just one of those in-game kind of learning moments that we continue to see from Freeman and staff. So great win, but more of the same in terms of, again, kind of beating up a lesser team at home. Still some areas of improvement. You got to see some young players play. That's what I was personally looking forward to.
Yeah.
It's like you wish you could have got like another 5-10 minutes, maybe a little bit more time in the fourth quarter to see some of that young talent. Maybe we will next week. But that was I didn't really learn a whole lot.
Yeah. So I don't know if you got to watch my show with Tim after the game.
I did. I watched most of it. Yeah.
That's kind of the thing I like to get to with Tim. It's like, all right, you know, Tim's just a crazy football junkie. For all of you who think you love Notre Dame football, Tim's a different level. Like the dude literally lives and breathes it. So he'll talk about this, the smallest details of the game. And I'm like, Tim, what'd you learn? Like, what do we kind of move forward with this? And neither of us could, you know, Tim and I couldn't really come up with a whole lot. Like you said, it was just kind of beaten up on a bad Wake Forest team. And everything that you kind of mentioned, Ghouls, is like, yep, that's Notre Dame this year. They've beaten up on the bad teams. The offense can be slow at times. I really liked this tweet from Malik Zaire. I'm going to pull up. It says, the Notre Dame offense is like cooking in the crock pot. Takes forever to get going. Not very exciting, but eventually it gets the job done.
Yeah.
You like that, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, takes forever to get going. This week, senior game, and it's just like three and out to start the game, and it's like, dang, you know, you could see Sam was frustrated. You did see more stuff. That's the frustrating part, I guess, of this season, dude, is like the offense plays poorly on the road, and obviously we haven't played as well overall, more particularly on the offensive side of the ball against better teams, right?
Yeah.
But then it's like the conservative nature of the offense when we play those better teams. And then, you'll see more elements of the offense under center, play action, moving the pocket. Yeah. You know, we've talked about how static Sam is in that pocket. And it's like, you see all this fun stuff against shitty teams. It's just frustrating. It's like, pull it out against. Come again?
I think Parker's like gun shy to not want to do that again.
I don't know. Maybe that's a good word for it, Mike, but it's like, or is this still just it's a team staff that's kind of learning what buttons to push, what strings to pull, etc. You know? But that's my kind of my frustration. Everybody looked healthy on the offensive side of the ball, which is nice to see, especially at the receiver position. It was fantastic to see Eli Raritan.
Yeah, and your boys.
Yeah, man. And I mean, we've talked about him, how physically impressive he looks in person. And it's like completely different body type. When you look at Mitch Evans looks a lot like a Michael Mayer physically. Yep. It's almost gave you, I almost gave you a layup for like a dirty joke, but I
accept
it. But you know, Eli's a couple inches taller. It's just amazing what a couple inches, a couple more inches can do, Mike, right? So, but right? But he looks like a different type of athlete out
there.
He really does. And then I, you know, as I was kind of walking, I guess walking away from the game, thinking about it, I just want to make a mental note to like not. There's been a lot of conversation about Hartman, especially with me, right? But it's just like all season long, I feel like that Estime has had a great year, and he's been such a good player for us. And I'm like, let's just not forget,
dude,
kid, and the type of player Estime has been for us.
All right, the biggest thing that you have been like, I've agreed with you on with the Hartman thing, is the amounts of love that he gets. I don't understand it, right? Him going out last in the tunnel and getting the biggest ovation for senior day makes no sense to me. He's been here since January. I just don't get it, Mike. It's not like he's been here 4 or 5 years, like for him to get, you know, something like Ian, like I bet he got a bigger ovation than Ian Book got. Like that's kind of what I don't, that so that's the biggest thing for me that I've agreed with you on with the Hartman thing. It's just like, just
the undue adulation.
Yeah. And I'm not trying to dog on him. It's just like, I'm more on the fans and like the media that's like just giving him maybe a little too much.
No, it's, but that's the kind of the world we live in, right? I mean, it's just like, he's popular.
He got an interview in GQ, bro. It's a straight Q&A. GQ.
And then, I mean, I've always said, of course I'm envious, you know, like, of course, right? It's like, but yeah, to your point, I don't think it's, but they said something during the game, like JD Bertrand was like, you know, I'm a football guy. Just quite frankly, I don't really care about senior game. I, JD says, I want to win this game for Sam Hartman. And it's like, what? So I don't know. I don't know. And then, I don't know. I'm trying to stay away from that and just kind of move forward. But what were we even talking? What maybe? Oh, I mentioned Estime.
Yeah. Because I think Estime should. Like, Estime to me is the face of the team.
He sure was before Sam Hartman got here.
Yeah.
And then it's like you sit there and you look at some of our losses. It's like, had we done, I mean, the most recent one with Clemson, had we tried to do less with Sam and more with Audric, you might have won that game. You might have climbed back into it.
Yeah.
In the second half. So that was just one. I made a mental note, dude. I was just like, hey, I want to give credit where credit's due.
Yes.
And give Audric kind of a shout out just because, yeah. I mean, he's been a great player for Notre Dame.
And Mike, I want to talk about Audric in just a moment because there's some interesting stats to talk about with him. So we're going to get to that in just un momento, folks. Of course, if you're just live with us, hit the thumbs up, subscribe, all that good stuff if you've not done so yet. We're going to hear from our fantastic sponsor over at Home Field Apparel, the collegiate clothing line based out of Indianapolis. They're like new vintage stuff. I know it's kind of like an oxymoron, but that's what it is. This is new stuff with that vintage feel. And their Notre Dame collection is truly fantastic. They went back to the archives to have those like nostalgic kind of old school designs and have created some unique and thoughtful clothes. Authentic. And again, nostalgia is what I get in looking at the home field stuff. They actually have licenses to over 150 colleges. So you can find some college gear for just about anyone as the holidays near. Our promo code BlueGold23 gets you 15% off your first order with home field. I don't think we get, if you use the promo code Black Friday at home field, I don't think that super benefits us. But hey, it gets you an extra 5% off. So use promo code Black Friday at home field for 20% off your order. So easy website to use. Go to homefieldapparel.com. Check it out. I've got some home field gear. I know Goolsby does as well, especially the very handsome Sam Hartman on the Victory March t-shirt. Please check out homefieldapparel.com. Use that promo code Black Friday. I believe you can do that for the next few days. So Ghouls, this was the Estime thing. And I think he got like more carries in the fourth quarter than he did the entire first half, which is just interesting. Or was at least close. So this is what Notre Dame Football PR tweeted out this morning or this afternoon. At 1,103 rushing yards this season, Audric Estime moves into 15th on the Notre Dame single season rushing list. He's just 165 yards away from fifth place and 334 away from first place. So you gotta think against Stanford, they're gonna try to have him break that record. And if this is indeed his last season, does he sit the bowl game? Like, does if because Mike, if you're gonna tell me he's got two more games, you think they're gonna get 334 rushing yards? Like, you think they're gonna at least go for it? But that's kind of an interesting that's an interesting thing. Like, because clearly they've been running Estime in some of these blowout wins in the fourth quarter to pad some stats. Like, it was just no call spade a spade.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on this, Mike?
It's interesting because he's been more of a home run hitter than you could have ever imagined, right? In terms of like his production and yards per carry, to me, you always just kind of envision him being kind of a 4 yards and a cloud of dust type guy, and he's been anything but that. His patience, he's really developed better vision. Tim's talked about that quite a bit in terms of finding seams. Yes, they obviously play him late in the game to pad stats. I don't think he plays in the bowl game. So, I mean, unless
– yeah.
I just – in a kid like that, Mike, I mean, if Audric – I don't know what he's going to run his 40 in. I don't.
Yeah.
He's a pretty explosive guy, but he is heavy, thickly built, super dense kid, dude. But a kid like Estime, if he can go off to Arizona or California or whatever, train for that extra month. I mean, a kid like Estime, if he can take a tenth or two off of his 40 time, he's putting a ton of money in his pocket. I mean, he's moving up a round or two at the running back position. So I think that training, combine, et cetera, training for him is going to be crucial. I do.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's been a great player, man. That's just why I wanted to bring it up. He's an understated, humble star.
Fun, goofy, like just across the board.
Yeah, man.
Career rushing stats for Audric Estime, 348, a good bit of carries for 2,083 yards.
I can't quite see it, Mike. What's his average per carry? Career
yards per game. What's attempts/g? Oh, that's attempts per game. I don't think it actually. Someone could do the math in the chat. I'm
saying yards per carry. Is it on there?
Yeah, no, it doesn't. It says attempts per game and his yards per carry this season is 6, but I don't have career on it.
It ain't bad.
Yeah, not at all.
And I think he's going to be a unique NFL player because as the NFL continues to just chip away at the physicality in the league, I could see a guy like an Estime. I mean, everything goes in trends in football.
Yeah.
And there isn't a back like an Estime. The closest thing would be like a Derrick Henry, but he's 6'5" or whatever, right? He's just built a little bit different in terms of being a big back.
Mike, talking about the defense, played, I think kind of a Notre Dame game, like what we're used to. Gave up
some plays. Has anyone talked about Marist being a semifinalist for the Butkus Award?
I don't think we have.
Like, I haven't heard anybody really mention it. It's pretty remarkable. Like, good for him. Semifinalist.
There is a little bit of Notre Dame flavor in the Butkus Award circle. I think they try to get Notre Dame guys on there late.
Does that trickle down to the high school level too?
Yes, absolutely.
What's the origin of that? I don't know this. I've never heard this.
Just gonna talk offline.
Yeah, for sure. I'll share it then.
It's not really a big deal, but yeah, I don't want to speak.
I guess, term, so there's somebody on some committee that's a
Notre Dame. Yeah. There's a little bit of Notre Dame flavor. Yeah, that's
yeah.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. So now the defense, I think Tim used the word sloppy. I was mowing the lawn earlier today, listening to your guys' show, and Tim said, he's like, I've coached in games like this before, and it's kind of a sloppy game, but you end up blowing the team out. And that's what it kind of felt like on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, there's a ton of talent. The team's come a long way, dude, since we've started doing this. It really has. It truly has. I get very annoyed when I see chunk runs given up. Yeah. I will take that to the grave. And we still see that at this point in the season. Marist, our semifinalist, posted one tackle. You know, it's unbelievable.
He's something, unbelievable, man.
He's an enigma. And I think he's fun to watch, super physical. But I mean, you go into like the latter stages of the game where you had a Christian Gray out there, a Mickey, Adon Schuler. Yeah. I mean, Drake Bowen getting in the game. Dude, Jalen Snead, to me, has come a long way in terms of all we've seen him is just kind of be that rush guy, like a Micah Parsons, a wannabe Micah Parsons. But his kind of positions, Rover / Will, and it's his little spot duty at the end. Like, I saw him kind of reading things out better than I had prior to. All the young D-line got into the game. I mean, it's exciting. It'll be a very exciting time when the offense catches up to the defense, both from a talent perspective and just an overall cohesiveness.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And speaking about the offense, there was a position group that flashed, Mike. And we got a few super chats. We're going to get to those after this. But I want to say, Mike, it was you when Rico Flores was being recruited by Notre Dame last year. Like, listen, I'm the president of the Rico Flores fan club, right? You were a big Rico Flores guy.
I still am. I still am, by the way.
Yeah, of course. Eight. I mean, he had the fumble, but dude, otherwise, I mean, what a baller of a day for him.
Yeah.
Eight receptions, 102 yards. So he looked great, and that's on nine targets. Faison flashed. I mean, Faison
is so good, dude. And he plays 100 miles an hour all the time.
I love him. Four receptions, 39 yards at a touchdown. Saw Jaden Greathouse back in the mix. Kind of seemed like he flashed so much early, middle of the season, injuries and whatnot. He's back, three receptions on three targets, 71 yards. And how about the 28 yards of Yak for him? Looked good. He had that, catch and run for a touchdown. Eli Raird, and we talked about the tight end position. But Merriweather, dude, prop to him on that post, with the touchdown. The young receivers, man, like they look good. Jaden Thomas played, but no targets that I see.
He was out there, and he didn't look to be laboring. Okay. Again, you saw him just kind of flash, but maybe by Stanford, certainly by the bowl game, he'll be healthy, right? 100% clear. So yeah, but again, dude, remember this? It's so crazy doing this show, dude. It is,
what?
The season flashes by, but at the same time, this has been a long season.
Yes.
I mean, here we are. We're 10, 11 weeks into it. It's like, after that loss to Clemson, it's hard to get your content motor kind of going over here.
Yeah.
But it's just like, I just get frustrated because it's like, and Pete Sampson, who does a good job, right, covering Notre Dame.
Yeah.
But he is like the ultimate low-key troll on Twitter, like with some of the stats he posted. So he posted something about Tobias has like a whatever it was 27% catch rate, but in the next tweet, Notre Dame's like fifth all time in points per game. But if you back out all the shitty teams we played, if you back out Wake team, it's like we're actually pretty terrible on offense. It's endless the different ways you could spin things around here.
Sure.
Endless.
And you mentioned earlier, like,
and it can be exhausting. Tim texted me 2 days ago. He's like, covering Notre Dame football is exhausting. Sorry, Mike, go ahead.
No, you mentioned about the defense, like, it's impressive how far we've come. And when you said that, I thought about the team as a whole, but I think you're speaking more about just defense, right?
I'm talking about like just athletically in particular, especially in the secondary. It is night and day since when I first met you.
Yeah.
Doing this.
Yeah. And it's just like, but here it is, 8-3. I just waiting, man. But what did we say? And then super chats, I promise. What did we say? And I mentioned this on a show yesterday. You bring in Freeman, might take some lumps with the young head coach, right? First time head coach, take some lumps and might not be great at first. Well, might get away from those 10 win seasons that we're so used to with Brian Kelly, but the ceiling is higher. Would you take that gamble? We all said yes. So I think that's kind of what we're seeing, Mike.
No, for sure. For sure. And I think I ultimately believe that talent wins out. And that's why Freeman was here and repeated over and over and over again. The leash in terms of some of these in-game clunky things that happen, like, you know, the spike the ball to call a timeout to spike another ball to kick a field goal. And stuff like that can't happen. And next season is going to be even more interesting, because it's like, I just looked at the schedule before we went on air. Our schedule next year for a Notre Dame team, what we're traditionally accustomed to, is cake. Yeah. I mean, we have like two games. And you could tell me Virginia's are going to be a tough game. Baloney, right? And Texas A&M looks like an easier game now with their head coach having been fired. So what are we talking about? Oh, Freeman. The leash needs to get shorter and shorter and tighter in terms of the in-game stuff. And then I think about it like from the player perspective, dude, like the persona that we see on the field. Mike, how you look, like your facial expressions matter.
Mm-hmm.
It does. In some games, he looks sad. You know, it's like some games, he looks a little confused, right? Like this game, it was after that little instance before halftime, he got a little fired up. He dropped an F and S. You could read his lips. He was like, F and S, you know, on the mic. And it's like, good, Marcus, give us more of that. Like, if you're frustrated, it's okay. Take more and more ownership of this in-game operation, please.
What do you mean by the leash comment on the in-game adjustment? Is that what you said? In-game adjustment?
I've heard that's just a throwaway term, dude. But I'm just saying, oh yeah, like some of this clunky stuff, like the 10 men on the field, like the in-game operation, clock management, etc., has been poor. Like he's still not a good in-game coach. And halfway through the season, you know, I came on with you and was like, make your mind up. Are you right? It was after the Louisville loss, or maybe it was before. It was after the Duke game, somewhere in that 2 week span. I was like,
right,
make your damn mind up about, are you on the Freeman bandwagon or are you going to get off? Because that's when you started hearing, you know, whispers and people chirping for heads to roll, et cetera. Right. Yeah. Am I with you?
Yeah. Looking at that schedule next year, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So I think they still even have one more game to fill, which I don't know what that's all about. But you got at A&M, Northern Illinois home, at Purdue, Miami home, Miami, Ohio, gosh, Louisville home, Stanford home, at Georgia Tech, Mercedes-Benz. That's going to be awesome. Your boy will be at that for sure. Navy in MetLife in New Jersey will be cool. FSU, definitely one of those games that's going to be notable, November 9th, UVA at home, November 16th, and then at USC to end the season. So, A&M, it's like a big 2.5, kind of. You know, even Louisville, dude, I mean, that's a number 9 team right now. Kind of a not really a top 10 team, but they are technically, in my opinion. But anyways, Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, so what do you – in that, looking at that schedule, there's two big games.
I would say two. Go ahead. You know what? I would say three, and I would say like Louisville's half of one, and A&M's. No. A&M's still, that's a big game. That's at Texas A&M to open the season, with Texas A&M having a new coach. That's got to be a big game. So like 3.5, maybe. A&M, Louisville's like a half, and then FSU and USC.
Mm-hmm.
So it's similar to this.
How do you feel about? I mean, I don't know categorically. I mean, assuming Caleb Williams moves on, and he is USC. I mean, it's in terms of a difficulty level, I mean, it's a big game, sure, it's USC, but in terms of a difficulty score, it's moving down the list. They're like, it's no different than our win against USC. It's not a big win anymore.
I would say it's no different than like how we viewed going into Clemson. It's like, Clemson's down, but they still, you know, beat Notre Dame. But yeah, I mean, it's tomato tomato. But I'd say the schedule's about the same as this year in terms of difficulty. Maybe the chat can disagree with me, but. I'd say it's
So I just think that the talent acquisition is clearly rising. Incredibly young on the offensive side of the ball. The quarterback thing didn't quite work out. It sounds like Blake Fisher is going to come back. The stable of running backs. It's just like, you know, some of these missing pieces, the way I kind of see it, like sitting here now, Sunday night, after the weight game, like some of the stuff is coaching. You know, if we could just execute a little bit better in game coaching, the sky's truly the limit. That's how I feel.
Okay. All right. Well, We'll go into Kevin says, I don't think it's official, but I believe Army Shamrock Series is the 12th game to be announced. All right.
I heard that, Kevin, as well.
Yeah, I queued this up from earlier. Jason said, finally got 100-yard receivers. Like, since Kevin Austin and Brian Kelly's last game, that Notre Dame had a 100-yard receiver, which is insane, Mike. Just kind of thinking about that. Like, 100-yard from the receiver position. All right, let's get into some super chats. Crash Davis, with a very generous $10 super chat, just said, love the show, guys. Well, Crash Davis, member of our Blue and Gold message board, good to see you in here, buddy. Appreciate the super chat and all of the support on that GFSM Blue and Gold over the years. Crash, appreciate you, man. Wicked Bronco Productions, $20 super chat, very generous. Goolsby, you want to say something?
Well, just this guy keeps asking about Kendren Young in the comments. I would say watch the shows. Massive fan. I like him more than Aeneas Williams. I think he's going to be an awesome player. He kind of reminds me of like Ezekiel Elliott would be. I use those fun comps. Not saying he's going to be Ezekiel Elliott, but he's a great player.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about him.
Yeah, great.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, running back recruiting has been outstanding at Notre Dame this past few years. Really going back to 2019 with Kyren Williams. Wicked Bronco Productions, really appreciate the very generous super chat tonight. He says, as a defensive guy, Goolsby, what do you see as the issue with our offense from a linebacker point of view? What is Clemson, Ohio State, Duke, Louisville doing that shuts us down? Also, is this season more on receivers, Hartman or Parker?
It's not one thing, and I can kind of break some of these games. Like Duke to me, our problems were holding up interior wise. Like, and again, Zeke Correll, like, you've been a good player for us, like, fan of Zeke, but you're too small. I mean, if we're talking about elite, you know, we're trying to be a top five team perennially, you can't have 280-pound centers. You can't. And like those. The Duke game, Zeke got dominated. Like, we got our asses kicked on the interior offensive line. It's problematic. It blows everything up. Blows off the timing of everything offensively. Similarly with Louisville, I would say. Clemson probably just outplayed us. And Ohio State, I mean, I thought we played well on offense. It was just – and this is going way back. Like, we should have won that Ohio State game. I think at the end of the game, and this goes back to what we're saying about like coaching and stuff, all I can think about at the end of that Ohio State game was 3 minutes left. Audric busts an 11-yard run, and he gets up, feed me, feed me, feed me. We pulled him out of the game, and we love to do that after he gets a positive game. We love to pull him out of the game for some reason. But it's an assemblage of stuff. Sometimes it's wide receivers can't beat press. You know, they can't get open now like they need to against quality talent. Sometimes your quarterback hasn't made great decisions or been accurate. Sometimes the pass protection hasn't held up. And then overall, in those big games, hopefully this answers the question. To me, overall, we lack any stones from a play-calling perspective in those big games. We lack cojones. It's very predictable. Parker will have success on one run. I went back, Mike. I watched the Clemson game again last night, dude.
Oh, dude.
I'm stressed out over here with this move and everything. I couldn't sleep, so I'm up watching the Clemson game, and I'm like, we'll pull that guard tackle, pull downhill counter. Parker runs some other BS, comes right back to the same running play on the third, like the third down. Like, he'll come up. There's no creativity. I love Sam under center. We don't do that in big games. We only do it when it doesn't really matter. The stakes aren't as high. Same thing can be said for play action. So it's, as with anything football related, Wicked Bronco. And Wicked Bronco and I had some clashes over the Hartman thing. I can remember going way back. But as with anything in football, everything's intertwined. Everything's enmeshed with one another. Rarely is it ever one thing.
Wicked Bronco, appreciate the very generous super chat. Yep. In agreement with you there, Ghouls. And I think something else you would be in agreement with me on, Mr. Goolsby, is that Augie's Locker Room is one hell of a place. And they do have a new location, 1733 North Ironwood Drive. in South Bend. So next time you're in the area, or if you're a local, and if you haven't been to Augie's, or you just, and you've been there, or if you've been there and you just want to stop by, please head over to Augie's Locker Room. You know, check out their stuff, and tell them that Mike and Mike from Blue and Gold sent you. Again, folks, new location, 1733 North Ironwood Drive in South Bend, right down the street from Notre Dame. Yeah, whenever you are in town, you really do need to make time for Augie's Locker Room. The wide selection of Notre Dame stadium pieces, jerseys, helmets, autographs, one-of-a-kind Rockne items. You can find exclusive Joe Montana signed items and famous sculptor Jerry McKenna's replicas of the bronze statues that you'll see around the stadium. And Augie gets new stuff in all of the time. If Augie doesn't have it in store, he's going to go find it for you. But you got to let him know that you're looking for it. So stop in onto the new store. Give him a call, 574-277-6363, and check out augieslockerroom.com.
Can I jump in on Augie's real quick, Mike?
Please.
So we've been over this on the show. I got most of my Notre Dame stuff stolen. I'll spare you all the details. Like, I don't have a lot of it. Way back when, this is pre-NIL, Singer, your boy was broke. And we needed some cash. So me and Carlisle, an ex-captain of myself, we sold our jerseys to a gentleman in South Bend that is a collector for like a couple hundred bucks. And I want that jersey back. Trying to build out a podcast studio in the new house, I'd like to have it. So I reached out to Augie. I'm like, Augie's the guy. He'll track it down for me. He's on it, dude.
So he's bird-dogging my jersey. You told the first part of that story before, but now I get to hear that you reach out to Augie. So that's, I love that. And he's working on it.
Augie put me in touch with his son who knew the guy. It's like, bada bing, bada boom. And I'm like, it's pretty slick, man. So, and had Augie never, if he didn't promote on this show, if he didn't support the show, I would have never thought to do that. So it was like, very cool. That's kind of that whole Notre Dame family thing. Very cool.
It's always good to know a guy. Like, there's just a guy in everything. And Augie is the guy for Notre Dame. I mean, Notre Dame memorabilia and all that is included in that. So I love that.
So with that being said, don't anybody try and like outbid me for my own jersey. But if you folks want something Notre Dame memorabilia related, that would be my first phone call.
Okay, cool. Super Chats, Joey says, I want to wish Goolsby Singer and everyone watching a happy Thanksgiving. Go Irish, beat Stanford. Mad Dog Joey, appreciate you, my friend. Goolsby, got any good up? Any fun stuff planned this week for Thanksgiving?
No. I mean, I'll be moving, like physically moving shortly. So I think we'll be out of pocket for about a week, you know, but no, nothing notable.
Are you good to go this upcoming or after the Stanford game for our show?
I think so. I think so. Yeah, I will still have internet at this house. Yeah, we'll be good.
Okay. All right, cool. Yeah, I'll be heading down to Florida and seeing Justin Thurman and Notre Dame.
He can run, huh, dude?
What's that?
He can run, huh?
Yeah, he can. Thurman can
float.
Thurman can run. And then Notre Dame offered his quarterback in the 2026 class. So, been covering all these 24 and 25 quarterbacks, you know, that Notre Dame's been after and committed, and now get to go start over again in 2026. So, looking forward to being down in Florida for Thanksgiving, seeing family, and then doing some work while I'm down there as well. BC, $5 super chat says, Sam gave the team. Okay, so this is going back to kind of my rare shade I threw at Sam earlier, but it really wasn't about Sam. But, anyways, Sam gave the team a spark in the fan base. Hey,
this guy brought, I can never do this. You brought Sam up today. I didn't.
I know.
I was talking about Audric. You made a hard shift over to Sam. Anyway.
Sam gave the team a spark, and the fan base loves his personality and humility. He shares well, and his teammates love him. So what's the problem? There's no problem.
There is. The problem is the quarterback play, but go ahead, in big games. But beyond that, yeah, he's adorable, and we all love his humility. And he's been a great steward of the school that he's been at for 11 months. For sure.
I just personally don't think that he should be getting the amount of love and praise as someone who's been here a lot longer. That's just me. I'm fine if someone wants to you know, give him the loudest ovation. I'm fine with it. Just me.
Your point about him running out last, and it's like, okay, if we were a top four team currently or something like that, or we had one loss, sure, let him run out. To your point, though, Mike, like, I don't think he's I mean, has he earned it? Has he earned the love just because he's handsome and humble? And I mean, but he's got it though. Like whatever it is, dude. I mean, he's dripping it. I mean,
so people are saying, Mike, he's the quarterback of Notre Dame. I've seen this comment. Listen, in all of my time covering Notre Dame, the quarterback of Notre Dame's been getting shit on.
Totally.
Been getting shit on. Ian Book got shit on. Buckner got shit on. And
Pine.
Oh God, Mike called him a jockey on the show.
That was a good joke. Clearly it was a good joke. It really stuck, you know. You're still talking about it. But yeah, I'm with you. It's it again, folks, these are just opinions, yeah. You know.
Yeah. Paul E. Walker, I've been looking at you in the chat, dropped a $5 super chat. But yeah, appreciate the five, Paul. If you have something else, let me know. I'll try to find you. Mike Nolan says, will Betelho be asked to return? Watched him closely tomorrow. I think he meant yesterday. Watched him closely yesterday, and he seemed to never beat either tackle and rarely close down on run play. So I don't know if you want to – I don't know if you can
– speculate.
Yeah, speculate, Mike. But just, do you want to offer thoughts on Jordan Betelho?
I'm a fan of that kid because he's been through a lot. He's put himself through a lot in his time at Notre Dame. And he's toughed it out. Jordan Betelho is not a natural Notre Dame fit singer. You know, he's just not. Yeah. And he's made it work. I was stoked for him this offseason. You know, I said one of my preseason predictions, I thought he might come up with double-digit sacks. And it hasn't worked. He looks a little heavier than he did last year. Like, he doesn't look as twitchy. So I don't know if he'll be back. I don't want to speculate. I'd rather report on what's taking place versus speculating. I don't know if he'll be back, but I'm proud of Jordan, and I've always been a fan of his. Just the way he's played and the stick-to-itiveness that he showed, that matters to me.
Yeah, there was multiple instances where I remember hearing, like, Betelho might not come back home from Hawaii. You know, like, when he would go home and and he was supposed to and I'm very glad that he stuck it out. So,
Big fan. I think a kid like that still, dude, if I was giving Betelho advice, I'd say lose 10 pounds, you know, get some of that athleticism back versus, you know, I think they want him a little bit more stout on ball. But that's a guy I think he's definitely got a shot to make a team. Like, go to your pro day, take that offseason training seriously. Like, you've got a shot to play in the league, no doubt.
All right, Paul Walker just had a comment from his super chat, Mike. If Notre Dame had any of the falling quarterbacks this year, would the record be any different than 8-3, Melrose, Nix, Penix, McCarthy, or Beck?
Could you say that again?
Paul wants to know, if Notre Dame had any of the following quarterbacks this year, would the record be any different than what it is currently, you know, between guys like Jalen Milroe, Bo Nix, Michael Penix, J.J. McCarthy, and Carson Beck?
Maybe not McCarthy. But yeah, Nix is, I mean, the two quarterbacks that have played that will historically ever, it's Bo Nix and Sam Hartman who have played the most football. I like Bo Nix. He's continued to improve. He got dogged on in his time at Auburn. You know, you had bad Bo Nix, you had good Bo Nix. The thing that a lot of those quarterbacks share, Singer, and to answer your question, Paul, is the mobility, creativity, spontaneity. They can play off script when the play breaks down. You saw early in this game, Singer, they brought one extra guy than we had to block. Payne made his choice, picked up the blitzing linebacker to his right. The guy came through Sam's left, wide open. Sam's dead in the water. So, like, I will die on this hill, Singer. The next quarterback that we see at Notre Dame, I pray he has a little bit of elusiveness and can create on his own when the play breaks down. Because in these big, high stakes, high anxiety games, that's the way it plays out. And you need a quarterback that can make something happen. So would I say that the record would be different? Probably, if you had a slightly different, you know, athlete and somebody that approaches the game differently. Sam doesn't like to move a lot. He wants it to be blocked up, and then he'll slice and dice you, as we've been saying, Mike. So hopefully that answers the question.
Cool. Paul, thank you for the super chat. It'll be great seeing Sam, Steve Angeli just tearing it up next year. Wicked Bronco Productions, $20 super chat, says the 23-24 receiver class. I really appreciate this, Wicked Bronco Production. 23-24 receiver class will be Tate, Floyd, Fuller level good, in my opinion. Goolsby is right about the 24 schedule, which is perfect for starting a young quarterback. Pray hands with CJ Carr, and I think we go 10-2, maybe 11-1. 11-1, that's how easy it is. We make the college football playoff. It is 12 teams. It will be a little bit easier to get in there, but
how this guy sees it next year is smoother sailing, which, I mean, we're going to have a ton of QB talk in the offseason, and we're getting a transfer. What kind of a transfer are we going to get? You know, what archetype is it going to be? But it's like, with the schedule to me being a little bit easier next year, it's like maybe you aren't looking for this Sam Hartman, you know, stud transfer quarterback. Maybe you're just looking for more of a depth piece at transfer quarterback. Maybe you do it. And I hate to say it, Singer, but I'm kind of starting to change my tune on Angeli. I haven't changed it. Get back here, you son of a B.
But what did you say?
I'm starting to warm to the kid.
Let's go, baby.
I'm starting to warm to the kid.
You like that? You like that? Let's go.
All I can say,
he's a baller, bro.
There's a part of me that's going to be rooting for Angeli.
Hell yeah, man.
There's a part of me.
Mike Goolsby loves someone who sticks around, right? They bring in Hartman for his sophomore year. He stays. Mm-hmm. They're going to bring in another transfer this year. I don't think he's going anywhere, man. He's going to
be the guy.
Hell yeah,
he can be the guy runs out last on senior day. You know, he's stuck it out through hell and high water.
I'll take my shirt off in the press box for it, bro. I'll be so hyped.
So, but again, I want to see. He looks like he's gotten better, which is like a boneheaded comment, Singer. But he looks like he's gotten better since high school. You know, and obviously all these kids have, but he's come a long way. I want to see more athleticism, you know, just kind of relating to my previous statement about what I want at the quarterback position. But yeah, man, there's a part of me that's rooting. And this is going to be, it's going to be fun to just go through this with you, Singer. It's like, I'm going to be your sponsor. So like, what if, I mean, Hartman leaves, Angeli's the starter. And then they go get the kid from K-State. And then it's assumed that that guy is going to be the starter. And then I get to watch Singer go through what I went through. So I'm here for you. I want you to know I'm here for you. Because you're like, now it's time, dude. It's Angeli's time. You're like, nope, here comes this transplant. And then that guy becomes the fan favorite and whatever. And I'm here for you. If that happens, I'm here for you. I want you to know that.
Ooh.
Basically, after you said, you know, you're changing your tune on Angeli, I didn't hear anything else you said. I was just kind of living on that 3 seconds. But yes, Wicked Bronco Production, appreciate the 20. As I look back at the schedule again, Mike, right, Florida State's going to have it, right? Jordan Travis is probably, is he out of eligibility even? I know he just broke his leg. Prayers for that guy, but like, I'm guessing that he's
real
not
quick, back next year. What did I just, okay, like I read some of these comments, you've had to explain to me 100 times Hartman had 3 freshmen to throw to, and one was a lacrosse player. It's like, yeah, again, did Hartman not have the sense to read the look through the roster before picking Notre Dame? So it's like all these different angles, people. It's just, you're never going to get me to change my opinion. The guy's an average quarterback. He plays Travis well against 4 teams.
Yeah. So if Travis is out of eligibility, Caleb Williams is gone. I don't know. I maybe it's like slightly easier than this year, but we'll see next year. To me, it feels kind of similar. But all right, cool. Still fired up over here. Mike Nolan says Freeman beat teams he should very decisively this year. Last year lost to Marshall Stanford. That was one area improvement. Can he improve on the road? So it's a great question.
Yeah, no, it is. But we're headed into year 3. So absolutely it is improvement. We are headed into year 3. So I just think not that the leash gets tighter is the phrase I'm using. But yeah, that in-game, the in-game operations, maybe that's the question as I kind of sort through this, Mike. Sorry.
Yeah.
Are we beating these teams because you do have a, you know, a better quarterback and which helps you? We're kind of a bully. Like if you look up the statistics, like we bully bad teams and then we play against good teams. So is having that 6 years of experience, is that what's pushing us over the edge against a Pitt, you know? Who knows? Or is it the talent around just the team in general? Is that what's helping us win games convincingly that in the past we've dropped the ball, right? So I don't know. Nevertheless, the in-game operations from a coaching standpoint need to improve. Like that, what happened at going into halftime, that stuff just, there's no room for it.
Yeah. There was a clip, or there was a moment about 15 minutes ago, Mike, where you said, "I love Sam." And then you said under center, but I'm going to clip that to just, "I love Sam" from Mike Goolsby. And that's just, we don't need the further context, Mike.
Yeah, but just to be clear, because we only got two more games of this. Is he going to play in the bowl game? Who knows?
Yes. Yes.
You think he will?
Yes. I mean, he already said it. He already said two more games. So, I mean, he's, okay. Dude, he would be a fraud.
So then like I said, I don't dislike Sam Hartman. I think I'd love to have a beer with the guy. I'm telling you, he's got charisma for days. I'm just saying, as far as a quarterback, I just think he's average to slightly above average. And that's not a personal attack on the man.
Mike Nolan, $5 Super Chat. He says, as Rocky said, "Yo, Adrian, to you, it's Thanksgiving. To me, it's Thursday. Good luck with the move. My goals be no fun."
Oh, it's all good. Done it a bunch.
Mike Nolan, appreciate the five and the support as always. Colin says, everyone in the Notre Dame family set expectations way too high for Hartman. Colin, good to see you in the chat as always. You always give us some interesting comments.
No, it's interesting, yeah, because that's why this season has been so odd, Mike, as it's winding down. The hope was so high. And the expectations were so high because of Sam. And then when we lose and Sam's a part of some of those losses, it's like, it's okay to call that out too. Mm-hmm. It's like, he was great for the fan base. It was awesome. The off season, there was a ton of content on here and it was fun. Like, I think you asked me that at one point, you're like, what are you most excited about? Like, what does Sam Hartman bring to Notre Dame that makes you the most excited? And I was like, the energy that he's given the fan base. That was my answer, something to that effect. It wasn't a skill set or anything like that. So yeah, no, it's been a fun experience, this whole thing. It really has. It's been wild.
It's been a good season for content, that much is for sure. Mark One had a $5 super chat. I believe this was when we were talking about Angeli earlier, said he's looked good. Hartman joked in the post-game press conference that Steve just needs to hang up the cleats now with the passing numbers that he has. I think he's like, actually I have a tattoo to my arm, 17 of 21. I'm just kidding. But yeah,
he's like an 80% career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A few touchdowns, no picks. But yeah, he has looked good, but there's the context of, you know, the garbage time, but yeah, he's doing well when he's in there. Tim McCarthy, $10 super chat. Thank you very much. He says, with the new athletic director and president coming in, do you think there will be any changes to admission standards, transfers, etc.? Mike, I want full tinfoil hat Mike Goolsby on right now.
Dude, that's who I am. one can hope. I mean, some of that stuff's above my pay grade, but one can hope, you know. I mean, I like the fact that this new AD is a younger guy. I like that. That means something to me. He's not going to be as stuffy as a Swarbrick. What's that side eye, Singer?
Don't worry about it. Just reading chat.
I'm reading it too. I see old meat stick out there, whatever, chirping. What a weirdo. So that gives me reason for optimism just because the guy's youth. The new president, I can't speak to it, but I think that if you look at how we performed with NIL and Sam Hartman, has been a big component of that. Like, I think we're killing NIL. And I think the way Notre Dame's handling NIL is exactly how it's supposed to be. I had I have yet to mention the Patreon, but I had a 2025 commit and his father on the Patreon. And I asked about NIL, you know, like.
Are you able to share who it was?
The Flanagans.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah, so I had dad, because, you know, you know some of the same people. So I had Jim and his son James on there. Fun interview. But, you know, I talked a lot about his recruitment process, or asked rather about his recruitment process, NIL, and Notre Dame's NIL approach versus other programs' NIL approach. So I'm optimistic.
Optimistic. Yeah.
And I would Freeman agree. Hasn't stepped out of line. Last thing, dude, Freeman has not, you know, went through this Ludwig offensive coordinator snafu, administration dropping the ball, yada, yada, yada. Freeman has taken all the arrows, like he said, all of the right things. So you would like to hope, and this is just stuff, like you would like to hope he's built up enough goodwill with the administration where they would throw him a bone. You know, does that make sense, Mike?
Yeah. My thought is, this is kind of like a scale where it's like, all right, if you lower your standards too much and you change things, do you start to lose Notre Dame and some of the things that we love about Notre Dame?
Can we talk about that?
Sure.
So dig into that a little bit more. Like, we're gonna lose what we love about Notre Dame. What do you mean there?
I mean, there's part of like the recruiting pitch of like this, like you have to be a very good student to come into Notre Dame, and I just think if you just change it too much. I don't know. This is not something I've thought fully through.
That's fair.
But so you guys, just so you know, Mark ones, that's the last super chat. Please don't post anymore. We're not going to get to them. Mike Singer is on a strict time schedule tonight. So I got a bunch of crap to do. Thanksgiving week coming up. So Mark one,
that's right. I would just say, as with anything, brother, there's nuance. And I've talked about this, where like the former staff, Brian Kelly staff, they wouldn't touch a sophomore in high school that had like a 2.7 GPA or something. Because they're just
the carrot.
I'm sorry?
Dangle the carrot. So Mike Goolsby line.
Yes. That old staff was just assuming he was an average student. He was going to stay an average student.
Yeah.
Whereas like Notre Dame can be transformative for kids. So even though that kid that doesn't have the best GPA, but maybe something happened at home that led to this, you know, maybe he had a dip for a semester, whatever. It's case by case.
Yes. Yeah. I'm talking about more just, let's not just change it overall.
No, we're not going to turn into freaking the SEC. No.
That's okay. No, so that's kind of what I'm saying. Like, you don't, yeah. Like, I think a lot of people are like, I want Notre Dame to just be a football factory. Then you're like, this is not an SEC program. Like it's just different. Like
No. That'll never change. But we're talking about throwing Freeman a bone or two.
Throwing him a bone. Yeah. And I think they are. And I think a difference is that Freeman is asking for that bone to be thrown more than Kelly would, at least in my time covering both. That's my understanding. And when I talk to sources at Notre Dame, they're happy about the direction of NIL within the program. So, that is good. Mike H says, if you're in Tampa, I'll buy you a Thanksgiving beer singer. I will be in Tampa on Friday. So hit my Twitter. I got you. Mike Nolan, $2 super chat, says, why no terms of NBC deal disclosed? No good. I don't know. I literally cannot tell you. Goolsby,
don't know. I don't care, but the product is, it's bad. It's bad.
Mike Nolan, appreciate the support as always for tonight's show. Wicked Bronco Productions, appreciate another super chat, my friend. He says, I think a guy like Seth Hannigan from Memphis would be a great transfer choice. He's not a guy who you have to promise the job to, and he has 2 years of eligibility. Steve Angeli is him and looked good.
Something on a show with Tim that I wrote down just real quick.
Was it good? We're gonna get out
of here. Well, you said you were like, you know, we're talking about bringing a transfer. This is going to be one of dozens of conversations about this.
Mm-hmm.
But briefly, you were like, I think it's about creating competition in the room, and competition's good for sure. But in the same breath, you also agree and basically confirm that Sam was promised the job.
He was. Yeah, of course he was.
So, but that was a competition. Do you get where I'm coming from?
For the podcast audience, what did you answer there?
What's competition and what's not?
For podcast audience, you did the air quotes on the competition. Yeah. Yeah.
So that'll be fun. I'll be curious because this is going to be a competition again, like it was last go around with this transfer. But if it's a marquee name, if it's a Cam Rising, people are going to assume he's going to be gifted the job. But if it's this guy, Hennigan, maybe it is an actual competition.
Yeah. Rising did announce that he's coming back to Utah. So I guess we can kind of put that one to bed. Mark One said, let's ask a question with Jack leaving and Father John leaving. What is your thoughts? This doesn't get talked about much.
I don't have any. I don't. I know that fans don't like. I don't really have any. I stick to like the football stuff. Sorry for being like a meathead, but I get that. I understand fans don't like Jack Swarbrick for some reason. I'm sure fans don't. I don't know. It's never even like interested me to dig into the weeds on that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Dude, you're a football guy. You want to talk football? I get it. Yeah. Mark One, appreciate the super chat. Mark, that would be a great comment for Tim Hyde on Wednesday. Tuesday night. We're going Tuesday night this week. So rejoin Mark on Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern. Say, hey, Mike, I asked a super chat on a Sunday night show, and we didn't really talk about it. Trash, $2 super chat next year, university. Appreciate the super chat. As always, Trash, it's good to see you. Better late than never. And Mike, I had one more. This was from last week. We literally signed off the show. I hit end stream and someone did a $10 super chat and I felt so bad. From Freedom Hawk. So Freedom Hawk, if you are watching and listening to this, thank you so much for a super chat. It was your first time on the stream, I believe, or your first super chat at least. He said, I love the show. I'm a diehard Irish fan since 96. Can y'all please comment on this? I feel like the root cause analysis of looking at program, we need 10 to 12 five stars at all times to compete for titles. Mike, do you have any thoughts on this? I just now remembered this from last week when I went to
public. No, good call, good job. I think I get where he's coming from. Joe Walt is going to be a top 10 pick more than likely, and he was a 3-star. Blake Fisher was a 5-star, hasn't been that great. I mean, he hasn't been great. You know, so just like anything else, Freedom Hawk, love the handle. There's nuance to it. I trust Freeman's staff to evaluate. I do. Teddy Rizak's a kid in Omaha who's a massively under-recruited. You know, he's come to Notre Dame. He's a 3-star. And I'm like, and I get it.
Yeah.
You know, being around the kid, watching him move, like I totally get it. So it's like, and you're going to have some 5-stars sprinkled in, but I trust Freeman's kind of vision for some of these kids. I just do. And like, if we're talking about the receiver position and you give me some kid that's under recruited, but he runs a 10-400 meters and he's a 3-star, give me him. Give me. Don't care.
And Notre Dame has that kid right now.
Deion Colby was a top 100 type player, you know, so it's just like, where's he been? So there's nuance to all of it. I think positionally, I'd love to get, you know, these stud quarterbacks that we're getting that matters as a 5-star.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I don't know. I like these kids. I like it. Yeah, this kid can run.
Yeah, Logan Saldate definitely fits. And you've talked about that exact thing about the receiver, 3-star, don't care, want speed. Yeah, that's Logan Saldate. Notre Dame would definitely agree with
and
you.
And he's another kid. I mean, he plays like Faison. Slightly undersized, runs hard as hell, super quick. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, cool. Well, I think that just about wraps up today's show. If you have not done so yet, please hit the thumbs up on the video. Subscribe to the channel for more content. Please go give Mike Goolsby, he's got a new Twitter handle, at Mike Goolsby 41. You can find details on his Patreon and the link of his Twitter bio. And Mike's always firing out some interesting tweets. Mike, I love your new Twitter handle, and the algorithm loves you on my personal Twitter. You're always up at the top.
Interesting. So, yeah. Like I said, once I get settled in this new house, Singer will have a legit like studio, like I've got plans, dude. Sick. Like that are in motion. It's like no longer like I'm gonna be up moving around, you know, like kind of like that McAfee style.
Yeah, yeah.
And hopefully people want the video breakdown. I think I can mix that in. So I'm very blessed that you gave me this opportunity and kind of brought me into this wacky world of Notre Dame football podcasting, you know, but it should be a fun off season. Yeah, lot to come.
Will be. Well, Mike, I appreciate that you responded to my first DM I sent you, and yeah, here we are, bro. All right, folks, appreciate you tuning in, and we're gonna sign off there. Goolsby and I should be back next Sunday, barring any last minute plans. But yeah, we'll be back next Sunday. Appreciate you all for watching, and as always, we'll catch you next time.